Sonnet 29. I Think of Thee by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I think of thee, my thoughts to twine and bud about thee as wild vines about a tree. Put out broad leaves, and soon there's naught to see except the straggling green which hides the wood. Yet, O my palm tree, be it understood, I will not have my thoughts instead of thee. Thou art dearer, better. Rather, instantly renew thy presence, as a strong tree should. Rustle thy boughs, and set thy trunk all bare, and let these bands of greenery, which ensphere thee, drop heavily down. Burst, shattered, everywhere, because in this deep joy to see and hear thee and breathe within thy shadow a new air, I do not think of thee, I am too near thee. So that is a love poem to her husband. So Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And her husband, the celebrated poet Robert Browning, were well known for a very happy marriage. She's a few years older than him, which was highly unusual at the time. They're a 19th century British couple who spent decades in Italy. And after a few years of marriage, they thought it was impossible to have children, but they were delighted when their son finally arrived. So a sonnet is written to a very strict 14-line format with a prescribed rhyme scheme and indeed metrical scheme. So some people think it's overly prescriptive, but let's go over it. So the number of the sonnets, and indeed in this case she gives a part of the first line as it's titled. So sonnet as a little song in medieval Italian. So I think of thee, that's I think of you. So she's addressing this poem to someone, the one she loves. My thoughts do twine and bud. Twine as in to twist around, or sometimes like a little string can be twine about thee, so that they are intertwined, they're interdependent, they need each other. Bud as in growing like some flower. So all this natural imagery, because their love is, I suppose, just biological, but emphasizing how badly she needs him and he needs her. As wild vines, so that's a simile comparing them to that. And because it's wild, it's not through artifice. This is just the way it is. It's nature again, about a tree. So you'll see a lot of this plant life in terms of the similes running through this. Put out broad leaves, and soon there's naught to see, and naught meaning nothing. So but I suppose the leaves are blocking out everything you'd possibly see, except the straggling green which hides the wood. Okay, as in perhaps that's the twine which is growing around the tree. So she can't stop thinking about him. Perhaps he's her limerent object. Yet, oh my palm tree, oh just a capital O, as in she's speaking to the palm tree. So as though that this is a metaphor for her lover. Be it understood, I will not have my thoughts instead of thee. So she'd rather think of him than think of anything else. So why is a tree is this his symbol? Perhaps because trees are solid, they're strong, they last a long time, they provide shade and nurture fruits growing on them, and so forth. Who art dearer better? So who art in modern English, that who is dearer better? Okay, so she loves him more than anything, anyone else. Rather instantly renew thy presence. As in, she would always want him to be back, to be with her, doesn't want to be separated at all. As a strong tree should. So again, another comparison to the tree. And these are some of the masculine traits that she appreciates in her man. Rustle thy boughs, as in rustle your branches, a bough or a bough, like, you know, the Christmas carol. Deck the halls with boughs of holly, or boughs of holly, some people pronounce it. So you're shaking them, making that slight noise of the leaves. But of course, the trees don't choose to do so. It's the wind is doing that. And set thy trunk all bare, as in make your trunk bare, as in all the leaves will have fallen off. And let these bands of greenery, which ensphere thee, drop heavily down. So she doesn't want too much foliage around him. She wants to be able to see the tree, so nothing to separate her. So I suppose she likes him as he is, with no adornments. Perhaps it's suggested that she doesn't want to have wealth or expensive clothes or status or anything like that. She just likes him as an individual. Burst, shattered everywhere. Okay, so she wants to get rid of all the frippery, all the unnecessary stuff. She just wants her husband as he truly is. Because in this deep joy to see and hear thee. All right, so that's self-explanatory. It makes her so happy just to see and hear him. Thee, meaning you. THEE, as the informal word for you in those days. Obviously, thee has fallen out of usage. And breathe within thy shadow a new air. If you're within somebody's shadow, you're very, very close to that person. And now, how would it possibly be a new air? But perhaps she feels a curious tranquility come over her. She's just so deeply content to be in his immediate presence. I do not think of thee. I am too near thee. So when she's actually with him, she doesn't actually have to think of him. She's experiencing him as he really is. But notice the rhyme scheme. I will read it to overemphasize the rhyme scheme. Not the rhyme scheme, forgive me. The scansion. I think of thee. My thoughts do twine and bud. About thee. As wild vines about a tree. Put out broad leaves and soon there's naught to see. Do you notice how regular it is? Is there a message in that, that she likes the predictability and the certainty of a relationship, perhaps? Because people write to this format and they sometimes break it because if they're not skilled enough at the craft of poesy, the poet or poetess might be bothered for a rhyme or not quite find a word with the right arrangement of syllables, and therefore it breaks down. But a more gifted poet will write it that way because he or she wants to surprise the reader, to underscore something by breaking with the scansion, and then you see it's rhyme scheme, A B B A B A and so on. All right, so that's it. So you point out the use of similes, use of imagery, perhaps metaphor. It's somewhat emotive, it's addressed to one person. And if you're writing about her, you could say the poet, poetess is archaic now, I suppose. Possibly Barrett Browning mentioned her name once or twice. If you want to have a sentence about some biographical detail, that's fine. Obviously, don't delve too much into that. Analyze it closely. Plenty of quotations, sometimes just one word, sometimes a whole line. It can have your analysis before the quotation or after the quotation, but you must have your own analytical writing. You can't solely have the quotation and say nothing about it. It needs your comments. So plenty of quotations, almost impossible to overdo them. I would say at least one quotation per paragraph. The more the better, within reason. Right. Thank you for listening.